Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hope you brought an apple for the teacher, because it's time for the Star Seminar. And now, here are your hosts, Rabble Rouser and Danny Fenton.
Welcome to another edition of the Star Seminar. We are your co-hosts and co-professors, Rabble Rouser and Danny Fenton. And just because it's summer break doesn't mean we haven't been studying up. We are both sitting here by the pool with our feet up, drinking Mai Tais, and studying advanced cowboyology. How are you, sir?
You know, I am. I haven't started my summer break yet. I'm still kind of trying to come down a little bit. It's just a busy time, and it's actually been kind of a bad week for the Rogers household, as we lost a family pet this week.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, on Wednesday night, our cat got hit by a car, and it was one of those things too. He was over on the other side of the road, and he seemed like, you know, okay. You could kind of tell that his feet were not good, but he didn't know the extent of the injury, so we had to do we found the one vet that was open 24 hours. We had to drive, to the next town. And, of course, we're just hoping for the best. But as we quickly learned, the poor guy had suffered some internal injuries, and he was not doing good. So it was, they recommended the end of life. So it was a little bit, it was hard on my wife. And so a little tough time for us this week. Definitely a good cat. His name was Fuzzbutt. That was our cat's name.
Well named. Was he aptly named as well?
Yeah. I don't think you can go wrong with that, for a cat, unless you got one of those hairless ones. But he was, one thing was unique about Fuzzbutt is Fuzzbutt liked to go on walks with us. I've never had a cat that does that. A lot of the cats we have are pretty, I would even say as much like stuck up, kind of independent. They just don't, a lot of the cats I've owned just don't really, it's everything's on their terms. And so, but this cat in particular loved when we would walk to the park, the cat would just trail along, like it was a dog, just like trailing along, and just loved to go for walks. And so it was, he was a good cat. I am not a cat person, so for me to even say that, it tells you, it just speaks to what a good little guy he was. So I'm saddened by this, and it's tough when you lose, a pet you love. And how about you, Rabs? Do you have any? Do you have any memories of your favorite pet?
As you were talking about the beloved Fuzzbutt, I was thinking about a very similar thing happened to me quite a while ago now. It was like in 95, I think, or so, somewhere around there. Probably the best cat I've ever had was, his name was Elijah. He was awesome, super friendly, similar sort of thing. Like, he loved going in the car. So like most cats are just terrified. Like our cats now, if we put them in the car, they just like scream bloody murder and poop and do everything. Like they just can't deal with it at all. But he would, like, you'd open the door, he'd jump in, and he would just purr and purr and hang out. And we would drive like the length of California. We'd stop like halfway and like go to Taco Bell and split a burrito. It was just like, we were just a couple of dudes. Same sort of thing. He was crossing the street out in front of our house. Someone came to the door and said, I think you're, Do you own this kind of cat? And I think your cat got hit. And You know, it's just devastating because, you know, he was such a good dude. And so he was like my favorite cat, and I didn't want another cat for a long time. I really just couldn't deal with it for probably another 15, 20 years. But you know, we have cats now, and you know, we had to put down one of my wife's cats, you know, a little while ago. And it's just devastating. Whenever you lose a pet, it's really, really challenging. So I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to hear that. That's tough because, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where our relationships with our animals are so uncomplicated and pure that when they go, you know, the emotion hits harder in some ways, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point too. I mean, it's just like, sometimes it's like, you know, you're reminded often that they are animals, and, you know, and the cats, for example, cats, they really just don't, when they cross the street, they just don't care, you know, that they don't, a lot of them just, I mean, that's why there's so many of them actually do get struck. And so, I mean, animals do behave like animals, but you're absolutely right. There's, you do get this, like, this, you know, the love that you can get from pets, and, you know, and then the companionship with pets, it's pretty impressive when you, like, you know, so I wish some of my children would be, you know, behave, you know, like that. And it's just, so it's just, yeah, pets are for sure. I just love those little critters. And it's definitely tough when something like that happens. But anyway, we have a show going on today. You want to
sure do.
You want to let everybody know what's going on?
So we're going to run down some Cowboys news. We're going to debate which offensive and defensive starter we think is most likely to lose his starting job. And to honor all of our beloved pet cats we've had in our lives, and I know I've had probably 6 or 7 at this point, we're going to play a little pet cat game. How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic.
All right.
So
why don't you run down some of the news before we jump into that?
We don't got a lot of news. I did want to just remind everybody who it isn't aware that the Cowboys did release their training camp date. So they will be in Oxnard starting July 26th. I don't know, Rabs, I know we were together last year. I don't know what my availability is going to be this year, but are you planning on being down there?
Is the Pope Catholic? Heck yeah. No, I'm totally going to be there. I'm actually in California right now. My mom lives about 3 towns over from Oxnard, actually. And so frankly, every year when I go out for training camp, it's ostensibly a trip to visit my mom. And then I'm like, sorry, mom, peace out. I got to go watch training camp. And so I'm actually out here in California, like doing some work around my mom's house and taking care of my mom, who's not in great shape. And so I very well may still be here then. And so it'll be a very welcome respite at that point. But I'm going to be there one way or the other. So yeah, you couldn't drag me away. Wild horses, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I would, love to be down there with you guys. I know it's, you know, I had a lot of fun last year, and of course, you know, meeting new people and hanging out with the gang is certainly something that I would love to do. So if I can't make it down there, I'm certainly going to be envious that I'm not hanging with you guys. But in other news, recently Jerry Jones has kind of the topic of Jimmy Johnson going into the Ring of Honor came about, and Jerry kind of was a little bit, I don't know, I'd say hesitant, and it was less enthusiastic than when we last heard him talk about it, which is, of course, you know, Jimmy got inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But now it's like his words were, haven't set a timeline. So that was a little bit puzzling because we thought that was heading in that direction. But I was going to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you even care that Jerry hasn't put Jimmy in the Ring of Honor?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I think there's 2 different tracks for me. One of which is, how much do I care about the Ring of Honor? Two. I mean, I don't care about the Ring of Honor. I especially don't care about the Ring of Honor since Jerry Jones became owner, because it feels like in some ways he puts guys in the Ring of Honor so they can get into the Hall of Fame, so it can boost his legacy a little bit, you know, like I don't get the sense that he's really like taking a look at the larger topography of Cowboys history and selecting only the very, very best. I feel like there's a couple of guys who are in and they're not as good as guys who aren't and things like that. It's sort of an odd situation. So part of me, I don't care about the Ring of Honor. The flip side of that is if they're going to have a Ring of Honor, I really care that Jimmy Johnson is in. So because there is a Ring of Honor and because Jimmy Johnson is not in, I care deeply about that because I think, and I know people are going to argue this vehemently, but I believe strongly that Jimmy Johnson is the best coach in Cowboys history, the best head coach in Cowboys history. I believe he was a better coach for a briefer period of time, admittedly, but in his era, which is a much, much more competitive, much more difficult era in which to win. He had, I think, what is the most dominant team the league had seen to that point and maybe ever will see. The most complete team, like a bunch of guys who played against him said that was the most complete team I ever saw. And I think that you're not going to see that again, the free agency era. And they were incredibly, incredibly good. And he built that, he was the architect of that team. And I believe that this is Jerry just being petty because he wants more credit. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm trying to think why else would he delay the timeline or hedge or BKG or any of those kinds of things. And that to me is the only reason that really makes sense. I can't imagine they're like having trouble finding the right date or something like that. I really just feel like I believe he doesn't really want to do it and would only do it because of pressure from other people. And there was a moment there in which he was like kind of elated that Jimmy made the Hall of Fame. And because of course that reflects well on the Cowboys. And I think maybe got carried away and overpromised something he doesn't really want to deliver.
Yeah. You know, to me, I think what bothers me about it is, you know, and you're right. I mean, it's the ego thing. And I think it's not so much that I care that Jimmy should be in it, which I mean, I think it's hands down. I mean, he should, there's no debate about that. I think to me, what bothers me about it is that, I just feel like it just shows Jerry's willingness to not let go of things, like to have some type of control, and you know, he has control of that, and I think that he's, you know, if he could just swallow his pride and give his coach, you know, the credit he deserves and put him there, and I think that would just show a level of I don't know, surrendering, kind of like to giving others. You know, showing that it's not just him that's making decisions, and I think that the behavior that goes along with that would be a bigger thing than just, you know, Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy in the Ring of Honor. What's that mean for us? Nothing. It's just, you know, but the fact that, you know, just the Jerry Jones growing, you know, showing that he can you know, give credit to somebody else, and you know, and what that maybe could mean for the organization as a whole is just, you know, letting other people do their jobs and him not always having to be the guy that, you know, gets the credit, takes the credit and is responsible for it. So to me, that little part of it is why, you know, that's what bothers me. I have so much aggravation towards the older Jerry Jones. I think he's grown up a lot, you know, since. I mean, I do think he does give people credit. He does surrender a lot more than what he used to. And there's a lot of people that do, like Will McClay is an example, that do the things that, I mean, Jerry had his finger on a lot more of earlier on. But so I will give him some credit. But I do think that to me is why I want to see how. I want to see Jerry get just, you know his place. Just know his place. And I mean, we may not see that. Yeah. May not see it. But that's.
Well, let me. So two things to think about here. One is, I think it's important we have to think about the psychology of a man who becomes a multi-billionaire, right? And so I don't know about you, but if I was, if I had struck it, you know, gotten lucky and struck it rich in the oil business, and I made 10 million or 15 million or 100 million, I'd probably say, I'm good. Spend the rest of my life traveling and, you know, giving to charities and doing whatever, you know, whatever felt good. So there's a very specific type of personality that won't, as you said, surrender. Like the word you're using is surrender, but it's like there's a way in which like that their ability to say, no, I'm good. That's enough. I'm done. They can never do that. Like, the void is so vast, they can never stop. And so I think that's actually one of the things that's really fascinating about NFL owners, because almost all of them who are the new owners are self-made men, and the making kept going long after they needed to keep making money. Well, long after, and way before they built their purchased their teams. And many of them continue to try to find ways to make money hand over fist. And it's not even generational money anymore. It's not even multi-generational money. It's more money than any family, even if they have a family of people who are just like burning money, can spend. Yet they continue to try to find ways to make money hand over fist. And so there's something about the psychology of that. He will never give up. He's constitutionally incapable of doing so. If he was capable of doing so, he would have said, "Nah, I'm good," a long time ago, right? And just in terms of like making money and doing deals and all that kind of stuff. I don't think he ever will. And the second thing I'll say is, if Jerry Jones doesn't do it, if he delays this thing and then has a coronary or something, and Jimmy Johnson doesn't get in, do you think Steven's going to nominate him for the Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Steven was at the age when Jimmy quit, where he sees that as a massive betrayal. And I wouldn't be surprised if Steven, like any human being, be petty and vindictive. I wouldn't be surprised if Steven just kind of says, "No, that's going to happen under my watch."
Yeah, no, I mean, that would be terrible. I hate to think about that. And you're right. And there is that whole element. And we don't, sometimes I forget to consider that. But yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice to happen. And, obviously, Jimmy deserves it. But So
let me ask you a little piece of news. I noticed that a couple of folks are talking now about, offensive and defensive starters who are most likely to lose their job. I mean, those sorts of conversations are happening now that we're in the fallow period. So let's play it. Let's play along. And since everybody else is doing it, let's start with offense. So in your opinion, who's the offensive starter who's most likely to lose his job between now and, let's say, opening day, week one?
Oh, my goodness. Who is the starting left guard?
I think it's our first round rookie. Okay. I really do.
So I know it won't be a popular, selection, but I'm going to stick to my guns, and I'm going to say that I've already gone on record saying this. I don't think he's ready. I think McGovern is going to start at left guard. And so I'm reluctant to say that he's most likely to lose his job, because in my opinion, I don't think he's going to get it yet. So actually my real answer is I think that Connor McGovern is the starter most likely to lose his job. It will happen about a month into the season, but I don't think Tyler's ready by week one. And so I'm going to say that McGovern is the starter, and then, Tyler Smith will take his job. So however you want to classify that, if you want me to say, I think it's Tyler Smith that will lose his job by the start of the season, then that's my answer. But then I will turn around and say that I think McGovern will lose his job, shortly into the season. So that's going to be my selection. What about you?
Well, I'm actually just going to move one pit position to the right. But I will say that playing this – well, okay. So if we're talking about offensive starters, I think the one who's most likely to lose his job is Biadasz. And not necessarily because I think that there's an obvious person to replace him, but I think that, the key for me is most likely. I think the offense is actually pretty well set, other than, of course, left guard, as you were just talking about. But I do believe that there's some other candidates there that they like as players. And I know we've heard some rumors about them not being fully satisfied with with Beata. I think they like. I think he's okay physically, but I think that they where they're hoping he gets to a little bit better is in his ability to be synced up with Dak in terms of like recognizing protections and that kind of thing. So I think that they'd like to see him take, you know, advance a step in the mental part of the game. You know, I mean, he has a long way to go before he, I would assume before he can match, you know, Travis Frederick in that regard. But if he can just get closer, I think he's got a chance to hold on onto the position. Yeah. Again, in this sense, it's most likely I think the offensive starters are pretty well set, actually.
And I think the most likely part is key there. And the reason I think your pick is a good pick. And a reason for that is I do think the path for that to happen is, I think Beata is just the best they got for that spot. And I think it's not likely that it happens, but I do think I can envision a scenario when the before mentioned Connor McGovern is, you know, he's got competition possibly there. He's got competition possibly with second year player, last year's draft pick, Matt
Farniok.
So that who's a guy I'm particularly high on. So to me, he might be somebody that comes. And then let's not forget the undrafted free agent they got, the Alec Lindstrom. So I think that there's some options that. And so there's more paths for Beatish to lose his job. I think that Beatish is better than all of those guys, at least from what we've seen. And while Beatish might not turn into the center we was hoping for, I think he's probably pretty good. And sometimes he's a little too criticized, in my opinion. So I think that he's probably still their best play. So I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, when you say most likely, I think that kind of puts the circle around Biotis's name.
I will say the fact that we identified a left guard and a center should be cause for concern about the Cowboys offense, because there's clearly a soft spot there, right? And like, it's not like one of us is picking a receiver. At this particular moment, who's their third receiver?
Yeah, that's a good question too. So, because my answer was almost their third receiver, whoever it is. But the whole gap,
it's hard to tell because in mini camps and OTAs, the receiver core was so decimated that they were running, you know, first year UDFAs out there as starters, you know, so it's really hard to tell even who they're thinking could be a candidate for third receiver.
Yeah. And I kind of avoid that just because we don't know. I mean, I think that obviously, we know Lamb and Gallup are 1-2. And I think the question becomes like, who's really becomes their three, who will actually be their two to start the season. And so I really think their three and their four are going to get that shot. And to me, I think that's a Jalen Tolbert, James Washington battle between those guys. Those guys will probably both be seeing action early. And then one of them will play better than the other. And there's your three when Gallup gets back. That's how I see that going down.
I think that's right. I think that it's not Tolbert's job to lose. It's Washington's job to lose, probably. And so if we wanted to identify someone in that position, then I think we would say the starter most likely to lose his job would be Washington because Tolbert comes on. If Tolbert gets the starting job, then it's done, because they're always going to, if it's close, they're going to go with the younger player. Yeah. And give him a chance to develop by giving him game reps, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it is done. And I think in that point, yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. It would be Washington who starts out as your starter and then he's not. So let's
switch to the defensive side. I think it's a little bit more of a challenge on defense, largely because it's a lot harder to identify the starters on defense. If you really think about it, how many clear-cut starters, quote-unquote, are there on defense? I think maybe three or possibly four. You know, everything else is so situation and rotation specific that I think it might be hard to identify which starters will lose their job, because the guys who are starters are starters because they're like elite players.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That is tough. And I do think it's four. I think it kind of stops there.
So if it's four, which four guys are you thinking that we should count as those starters who are like, you know, top of their game, top 10 type type players at their positions.
Well, not just top of their game, but clearly better than the best next available. So I'll put that little caveat on there too, because I know you said three to four. That number four falls into that category. So I think it's obviously, so DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, and Trayvon Diggs are the three. That's the three. But to me, I think that Jayron Kearse is locked into the starting strong safety spot because, I mean, I don't have any faith in Donovan Wilson challenging him for that. I think that obviously with Kearse being kind of the hybrid linebacker type and the Cowboys having a linebacker shortage, you know, in some regard, I think that just makes his value even stronger. But to me, I honestly think Kearse was borderline Pro Bowl player last year. I think that the amount of splash plays that he made for this team was just remarkable. So, and it wouldn't surprise me if he had a Pro Bowl season. So I think that, so Kearse, I'm counting Kearse. Now, after that, I have some thoughts on some guys, you know, but they are not like locks by any means.
So is there somebody else who's a frequent, like a high rep player who you think has a chance to lose out some significant reps or have his reps taken away by someone who's on the rise?
Man. Well, I think that just answering that question, as much as I love this guy, so to me, I think Dorrance Armstrong is the right defensive end. He's the guy I think
right now, I'd say
right now. And because there's so many similar to the Biotish thing, only this time they actually have some good players that there's some wild cards, I should say. They're unproven, but they're certainly, I mean, obviously with our first round draft pick, Sam Williams, you got him. You have Dante Fowler, you have Terrell Basham. I mean, you got Chauncey Golston. There's a lot of guys that, so one of those guys could potentially step in and have a good season. So I guess I would put Dorns, as much as I think he's one of our better defensive players, I still think he's might be the most vulnerable to losing his starting spot just because of he's so closely grouped with those other guys. And so that I guess that's my pick. I don't know if I'm not super confident about it, but what about you? Who do you have there?
That's a tough one for all the reasons we've just been kind of mulling over. I don't think any of the guys that you identified, I think your assessment of Kearse is spot on. I think, remember last year, one of the things that for me was a real revelation about how much he had begun to assert himself in terms of his importance on the roster was when they, I don't know, what was it, week 5, 6, something like that, where he started wearing the green dot on his helmet and was calling plays.
Well, there you go.
Suddenly he was like their de facto middle linebacker, and he was their Sean Lee, you know, and I think that was, so it's hard not to consider him a starter. I think you're spot on that one. But I don't see any of those guys losing significant reps or anything like that because, you know, someone comes on and takes that away from them. I'm going to kind of cheat a little bit, but I think the position you're looking at is a good position because I think it's really unsettled and there's a lot of room there for some play and frankly for some chaos. I'm going to say that whether he's a starter or not, I'm going to say that Dante Fowler has a significant chance to have his reps taken away by Sam Williams. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what he has left. I don't know. I really don't know whether they brought him on as veteran insurance, you know, because they hadn't drafted Williams yet. They didn't have that rookie defensive end, or whether he actually still has something in his tank. Now I do know that, you know, everyone's pointed out he played for Quinn before, he played in Atlanta. He wasn't particularly good though. I mean, he's okay. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. He never has lived up to his draft billing when he was a top 10 pick. Typically those guys have, you know, elite athleticism and get off when they're drafted that high. He never really seemed to. I don't know. I could see that room if there's no major injuries or even, you know, like a string of like little injuries along the defensive line in training camp, I could see that room getting really crowded with young, talented dudes and them taking a look at Dante Fowler and saying, guy's a progress stopper. We gotta bite the bullet. We may not be as good weeks 1 through 3, but eventually we'll have better players. So we got to do that now.
Yeah. No, I agree. I really don't know what to think. I mean, part of me, like when it's like when he was signed, I'm like, you know what? This could be a whole lot of nothing. But I also kind of thought a little bit of that of Terrell Basham last year, and I just figured he would just kind of be like an afterthought, and it's like, and probably maybe even be released, because you don't want someone to be a progress stopper, and especially as like Micah started getting more reps. But actually, I was impressed with what they got out of Basham. I mean, it wasn't anything spectacular, but he was a solid depth guy, and so to me, I think I could see that as well with Fowler. Like, he's not.
Right.
Nothing,
right.
Nothing fancy. Certainly not going to be anything like it was, but still pretty okay. Still okay, you know. Still can do some Fowler things, and so that's how I see him.
I guess the question then becomes: they need both Fowler and Basham and Armstrong as kind of like, yeah, pretty solid backup types at defensive end.
That's
especially given the fact that like Odigizuwa and other folks can kick out to end.
That's a great question, and that's why, to me, I don't see both of those guys on the roster. I think, obviously, Armstrong's there; he's there. But Fowler or Basham, I feel like they have to make a decision with one of those guys.
When you really think about it in that way, I think you're right.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So now that we've talked about, you know, the negativity of guys losing their jobs, let's play a little game to honor our beloved cats that we've had in our life. So I wanted to play this game with you, Rab. So I have a lot of pet cats. So it's almost like not even fair to say they're pet cats because it kind of, you know, takes away the whole point of it. But I always have the pet cat over here that does that pet cat. So I like to break my cats into categories.
Categories, huh?
Categories. Yeah. So I always like to have a rookie pet cat, and I like to have a free agent pet cat.
Oh, I see. So you try to create fictional categories that allow you to have more pet cats. I see how you operate. Okay. Let's play along. I like it.
So I am going to start with my first category. I wanted to, it's going to be a rookie pet cat. We're going to call this cat Toonces because he's someone
fantastic.
He's someone that we trust, even though it's probably not a good idea. So my first question for you, who is your rookie pet cat? And I'm going to say it's got to be a day three guy. You're not allowed to take any of the big guys. Okay. So
I think it might have been I mean, that makes sense, right? I mean, any knucklehead can say Michael Parsons is their pet cat,
right? Yeah,
you know? Yeah. I mean, these guys have to be kind of like long shots, and there's got to be something about the dude that you fall in love with. That's why he's your pet cat. And so given that definition, I'm going to say John Ridgeway. I love his game. I love that he's just a scrappy dude. I think he's one of those guys who always plays better than he looks. He always plays better than his athletic threshold. He our good friend Landon McCool has called him a trash can full of dirt, and I think he's exactly that kind of player. I don't think it's any accident that he was involved in the first fight of minicamp or OTAs. I think that's just who he is. He's the kind of guy who's gonna still be pushing and grabbing a little bit after the whistle. He's gonna get under people's skin. He's gonna keep fighting and scrapping and clawing, and he'll make plays and set up other guys as a result. But I think that just kind of like scrappy by any means necessary kind of attitude is something that the Cowboys have often had in short supply. And so I love the fact that there's just a kind of a mean, nasty dude who's going to be there in the middle of the line, especially on rundowns. And I'm hoping that, that his play style will rub off on some of the other dudes who are in that defensive line room.
Okay. So let me ask you this. If Ridgeway scores a touchdown, is he going to do the air guitar?
Oh, it's required. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember who did that? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was, God, what was his name? Yes.
Come on. It's on the tip of your
tongue. Hayden.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Yeah. That would be fun. That's a good pick. I don't know what to expect out of the nose. So it'd be interesting to see. I'm going to stay on the defensive side. And so I'm going to take Fresno State's Deron Bland, the cornerback.
Nice.
And I don't, mm-hmm. I mean, I like the player. I like the athleticism. I like the length. I like the speed. And those traits are things that I feel a lot better about than I did from some of our choices last year. But my pick is Bland also because of what little I think about those selections last year. And the Cowboys, they picked a lot of DBs last year with, they got Kelvin Joseph and they got Nashawn Wright, who is who's an Oregon State Beaver. But to me, I'm just very dissatisfied with that play. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, give him a chance. And, he does deserve a chance, but I'm just not thrilled by those guys. And of course I haven't seen anything from Israel Mukwamu. So, and of course he's in the safety, but I mean, it's just those lengthy DBs in general. To me, I think Bland might have more of the traits that can get him on the field more. And so I'm interested to see if you look at as we go down the depth chart, and we don't know how these corners are going to, lay out, but I bet you Bland's a little higher than what a lot of people might have him. So I'm going with Bland for my rookie bet cap.
I like that choice. I do think that's going to be a tough room. I mean, there's a lot of experienced corners, and so for them to take a chance on a Bland, I mean, it's likely that if he plays this year, it's as a special teams guy mostly, and he gets a handful of defensive snaps. If he gets more than a handful of defensive snaps, then either he's far exceeded expectations or they're really in trouble because they're decimated in the back half. But even when you look at that, how many corners can they take and can they keep? And they've invested a lot of first and second day picks in corners in the last couple of years, and already had some good guys, and they've spent some money on guys. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. Will he play because he does have the size? Will he play some kind of hybrid thing? Who's the guy who he's actually in competition with for a roster spot? Is it Nation Wright? Is it Jordan Lewis? I'm not really quite sure. Is it CJ Goodwin? Who's the guy who he has to beat out? And I think that's not clear to me yet.
Yeah. To me, I don't, unless Wright really takes some good steps forward, and maybe he's right on schedule with what they expect from him. I don't know. I mean, he was a third rounder, so I did have higher expectations for what we saw. But to me, I think he takes the right spot. I think the Cowboys will have a tough decision. It's like, okay, are we happy with what we got from him, or do they want to say, you know what, I think we messed up here, and then they go with their new rookie who has showed them more promise in his short time than what they saw from Nashawn. So to answer your question, I think Nashawn's the one that goes. I don't think like they got to keep Lewis for he. Lewis is a he's got Bayou in the depth and he can play the slot as a starter and but I don't think so. I think his job's safe. But if I think it, you look at, and I think Nashawn is one of them. And we don't, and I don't, you know, we'll get to this later. So I'll just stop right there. So yeah, that's it. That's my answer. So now let's switch to from rookies to free agents. Now, obviously the Cowboys don't go shopping in free agency, so we don't got a lot to choose from. So I'm going to call this a cat church, the cat from Pet Sematary, if you remember.
Oh, yes.
Not the most friendliest of cat, but I mean, hey, what do you expect?
Well, certainly not after he returned from the cemetery.
What do you expect when he, is buried in that nasty place? So anyway, so this is which player do you think will come back from the dead? Our free agents that we do have, or at least the two that we know of, you know, they had good seasons. So it's like there's some potential there. So I'll let you pick and see what you come up with. Who do you think who's your free agent, Pet Cat?
Well, earlier in this conversation, I gave a little shout out to our good friend Landon McCool, and I'm going to do that again. He, of course, is a great lover of fullbacks, and in April and early April, like as free agency, you know, was in its descent, they signed a fullback who actually played at Oregon State. So he's from your neck of the woods, and I think initially signed with Chicago, and now they signed him. His name is Ryan Nall. I'm actually, I'm really intrigued. I think, and I also would say that, you know, a position like fullback is one where, I mean, I don't know that there is a starter at fullback. I think the third receiver is probably a starter, whereas the fullback's a kind of gadget and situation player in this offense. But I will say that I think that is a position where there could be some turnover because it's not like they had, you know, it's not like they ever had a world beater. I think the real question is, are they going to carry a fullback? If the answer is yes, I think he's got a reasonably good shot at being that guy. So largely because I don't particularly believe in the chances for the other two signees. I mean, they're the guys we just talked about when we talked about which veterans are likely to lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's,
how about you?
That's why I'm actually going to go, my decision is going to be based on opportunity. And, you know, we just spent time talking about how it's really crowded, you know, along the edge. We don't even know if Fowler's going to make the team, you know, because there's just so many other options. Whereas on wide receiver, it's a little bit of a different story, especially early on with Gallup, rehabbing his knee. So I'm going to say James Washington. He had, you know, a 700 yard season a couple years ago. You know, he was actually selected ahead of Gallup. He was selected in the second round. I know a lot of people were really high on James Washington coming out and, you know, doing the draft and stuff. And he wasn't one of the guys that caught my attention. So I was like, I was happy to see him go before, you know, the Cowboys picked what we expected to be a receiver. But I do still think he's a good player. And I do think he comes into a good situation. And it wouldn't surprise me if he had some nice deep shots that, you know, if Prescott has a connection with him and he actually does pretty good. I mean, I could see him putting together maybe a 500, 600 yard season. I do think that, you know, when Gallup returns, things will be different. I'm high on Tolbert. I think Tolbert will be, I think he's going to be a solid rookie season. And it same applies with him. The opportunities will definitely be there. But I am taking James Washington as my free agent, Pet Cat. I mean, like I said, the pickings are slim, but I think that he has keep in mind with the Steelers, I mean, they had Chase Claypool, they had Juju, they had their best one was, what was his name, Deontay Johnson, I think. So they had those, they had those guys. And also Roethlisberger was really kind of, you know, hit or miss and with some of his play, you know, down the last couple of years were kind of like, what's going on with Big Ben? So I think that improved quarterback play and not having those people, you know, to compete with early on is going to really make things give James Washington some chances. And you know, he proved he can catch passes and run with it. So I'm interested to see how that goes. So
A few years ago, when teams were looking at the Patriots when people were looking at the Patriots and asking, what do they do? What makes them special, et cetera? I think one of many things that they were doing was they recognized how hard it is to correctly predict which college wide receivers are going to be good pros, because there's very specific sort of characteristics that, that make someone a good pro. And it's always hard to predict those and whether they're going to develop, et cetera. And so one of the things that the Patriots are doing is saying, we're not going to draft any receivers at all. We're just going to get receivers in free agency. And then they switched gears and then started actually investing some pretty high draft picks in a couple of receivers in the last, 5 or 6 years. But for a long time there, they would say, Wes Welker is killing us. Let's go ahead and get him. And they get him for a sixth rounder. Mm-hmm. So I think that, what you're speaking to is right on, but also interesting in terms of let's bring on a free agent who we know can succeed in the NFL, right? Like, I think that's the thing. Like, okay, so there's guys who have lots of talent. They were good in college because they were just more talented than the guys they were going up against. But if we have limited resources, let's spend them on a guy we know can play the NFL game. And I think that's we know for sure that Washington can do that. He can do it at a reasonably high level.
Yeah.
So I think that's I have no qualms at all with that selection.
All right, so let's go to our next category of pet cats. Actually, Rabs, I don't have a name for this one, so I'm going to ask you, who do you think is the most underrated television cat out there?
Well, I'll return a question to you. Can we include the big cats? Or are we only talking about like the domestic small cats?
Oh, it could be any cats. Just
who do you think? All right. In that case, I think that by far the best cat out there is Perry the Puma, who was in some of the Bugs Bunny cartoons. So I don't know if you guys remember. He was, I think, in a couple of them. And he talked funny. And he talked sort of like this. I do remember that he was trying to eat Bugs Bunny, and Bugs was like too fast for him, and was like, I think maybe dressed up as a woman and like served him tea and stuff. And then Bugs said to him, how many lumps of sugar do you want in your tea? And he said, and Bugs gave him a bunch of hits on the head, and then he, like, Perry the Puma is like holding his head and going, that's a whole lot of lumps. And so we just love Perry the Puma when we were growing up. We love his accent. And I think that if you haven't seen it, go to YouTube, check it out. Oh, and the great thing about Perry the Puma is it's like his skin was like a unisuit that was too big for him. So he had like the saggy skin that was kind of falling off of him. He was like this sort of like wretched big cat who was trying to catch a rabbit and never could.
He
was fantastic.
That's fantastic. That's perfect then. So we will, we will name it after him. And so I want you to tell me who you think is the most underrated Cowboys starter.
That's a great question. And I'm going to say something that is when I say underrated, I don't know if he's underrated by NFL pundits. He may very well be, but I know he's, I feel strong that he's strongly that he's underrated by Cowboys Nation. And that's Terrence Steele.
Mm.
I think Terrence Steele is actually a lot better than a lot of people give him credit for. I think that, he's hurt because he had a tough transition year as a rookie because he was forced into playing a little bit before he was ready. I think if he hadn't played at all as a rookie and then played last year like he did last year, everyone would have been like, this guy's great. But, first impressions are hard to shake. And so, he struggled mightily in 2020, as everybody in the team did. And he, is a baptism by fire. And I think people are slow to give him credit for how much he's gotten better. And I will say last year that I actually think that him being replaced by Lyle Collins and all the sort of moving around of defensive tackles was one of
several, but one of the real keys to the offense starting to kind of like lose its mojo after the Patriots game.
Hmm. Yeah.
And if you look at the way the running game worked when he was in there before Collins came back, there's a couple things. There's a couple of factors there. It's really hard to say for sure because Zeke also got injured about that same time, and so he became much less effective. But one of the plays, and they ran it in a lot of different ways, but one of the plays that they ran a lot to great success earlier in the year was the pin and pull. So the idea is you have a tight end who pulls down or pins down the defensive end, and then the tackle and guard can pull around and lead the running back. So that requires the running back have the quicks to get to the outside quickly, but it also requires that you have a couple of players who are good enough in space to be able to sort of go hunt and hunt smaller, quicker players. And that was one of several plays that left the playbook entirely when Terrence Steele was replaced by Lael Collins. And their running game started to suffer when he went down. And so, is Collins a better player? He was. I don't know if he continues to be. So I think one of the things about the NFL, particularly for fans, is that, so much of our assumption about whether a guy is good or not is built on reputation. And oftentimes that's built on draft status initially. So this guy's a free agent. How could he be good? Lael Collins was supposed to be a first rounder. He's better. He's a borderline Pro Bowler. He's better. But he's not anymore. He hasn't been for a couple of years, And so I think people give Terrence Steele, I don't think they're giving him the full credit for how much he's developed as a player and actually how important he was to their success early last year when that offense was humming.
Yeah. No, that's a great pick. And I forgot because, I love Steele. My love for Steele is high, but he does get a lot of I think that's a really good selection. And I think you explained it really well. And I think that the people remember the rookie season and the bad stuff. And I also think people got stuck on what Lael Collins once did, which wasn't that far away. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like, I think we were all hoping for the return of, 2019. Lael Collins, but at the same time, Lael Collins wasn't playing at that level to me. I mean, I think you could really draw some comparisons and say that they're very similar. In some cases, you could make arguments that in the running game, that still was played better. So I think that's a great choice. I want to stick in the trenches. So typically, this would be the time where I would give Anthony Brown some extra praise because I think he's, he falls in the category as far as underrated to me because a lot of people think that he's really bad, and I don't buy that. I think that Brown's is a solid player, but I wanted just to give a shout out to a player that I think that's almost forgotten, and that is Carlos Watkins. And I mean, to me, he's our starting nose. I don't know who else you would put in there, so. So I'm counting him as a starter. I don't think it's Bohanna's job. And I think Watkins played really well. I know when we signed him, I was like, I didn't have big expectations, but I was really pleased with how well he played. He had that pick six and I think he did a really good job, and I'm really glad that they brought him back. I'm surprised that we got him as cheap as we did. But to me, I feel a lot better with Bohanna and Ridgeway and the development of those guys, knowing that we have a solid veteran like Watkins already on the roster. So Watkins is my pick for my most underrated starter.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. When you mentioned his name, I was like, oh yeah, good pick to myself. He reminds me in some ways. His play style is a little different, but this is sort of in terms of like the way that Cowboys Nation understood him as part of the roster. It reminds me a little bit of another guy they got from the Texans a few years back in Terrell McClain, who came in and a lot of people poo-pooed it and thought he was just going to be a camp body. But they identified a guy who had a very specific skill set that they wanted to add. And in fact, the way that the defense was constructed required and asked for guys with that skill set, and he blossomed, because he was probably playing out of position with the Texans. And I think that you can say a lot of that same sort of things about Watkins. And I think if he hadn't got, he got dinged a little bit last year. And I think if he hadn't, he felt like he was really sort of getting used to what was expected of him in Dallas when he got dinged. I think he would have had a better and more memorable, and therefore would probably not be your underrated player, because people would be rating him probably more properly had he not, I think, had his development not kind of gotten curtailed by the injury bug.
Yeah. So switching it up from most underrated, we're going to do our last cat category. This one is called Smelly Cat. Oh. I want you to tell me who you think is the most overrated player on the Cowboys.
What are they feeding you? That's funny that I just said that, because Feed Me is the most overrated player on the Cowboys. I think Zeke Elliott is the most overrated player on the Cowboys, and I'll say why. I think a lot of it has to do with things we've touched on a couple times during this conversation, which is that the average fan vastly overrates high draft picks and vastly underrates low draft picks. If a guy is one of the handful of guys the average fan has heard of, he's good, and if he's not, he sucks, and therefore Leo Collins is good and Terrence Steele is not, right? In this case, Zeke had obviously hit the league running and was terrific. And he was transcendent in his first year and pretty good thereafter for a couple of years. But now is not so much. But even more than that, I think that overrated, not necessarily even by pundits or people who follow running backs closely, but just by like Cowboys Nation as a whole. He was drafted in the top five. He had a great rookie year, and therefore that's who he is. And that's not who he is, right? And so if they're rating him as the guy, as the 2016 Zeke, who was drafted fourth overall, then they are vastly overrating Zeke Elliott right now. And I think that that's what they're doing, and therefore he's overrated.
Yeah. I do think that, like, if you were going to go buy Zeke in a store right now, I think that his price would be, I don't think you'd be like, oh, that's way overpriced. I think he's probably going to be maybe even in the clearance section, because a lot of people they're just really down on him, and it could be the mileage. Yeah. It could be, of course, if the contract, and that's not his fault. But I see. So I don't know. I mean, to me, I think Elliott's just, his stock's kind of low. So, but definitely, I think a lot of people would agree with you that any chance they can get to say that. But I'm gonna go a different direction. I'm actually gonna go with someone who, in my opinion, I think people are overhyping, and he may not be like super overrated, but to me, I think that non-starting cornerback, although he's sometimes considered starting cornerback, Kelvin Joseph is very overrated. To me, I think he's going to have he'll be a bust. Certainly, I'm hoping for all this to not be true. I think that he has some concerning traits about him. I think he's clearly got some concerning character things about him. I don't think he's going to show that he's better than Anthony Brown. So that speaks also to where I think about Anthony Brown. And I think that like leaves him kind of like, then what? What are you going to do with him? I don't think he's going to have opportunities. I think the few opportunities he'll get, he'll end up just not doing well with them. So, and honestly, I'm almost to the point where I'm just like, I don't even want to hear anything about the guy until he gives me something to listen to. And I want to hear good things in camp. I want to hear that he's, it's not his fault he's taken round two, but I want you to at least play like you belong in the NFL, and we'll see what happens. But to me, I would not, if I owned any Kelvin Joseph stock, I would dump it. Just that's where I am with him.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm not of that mind. I actually have still hold on, perhaps naively and foolishly, but I still hold on to that he will be able to realize his potential, and that the traits that I think made him so intriguing when he was drafted
And that made me so happy that, I mean, it wasn't like I was elated, but I was like, oh, okay, great, great, great pick. Given what happened with the other picks immediately in front of them in round two of 2021, I was really happy with that particular selection. And, you know, there was always a question of like, will he ever realize his vast gifts? And I still hold out hope that he will.
Yeah, and yeah, I hope so too. I mean, to me, Kelvin Joseph's similar to Sam Williams as far as how I felt about it at the time. I think that there I liked the pick if in the third round. I think it's too risky in round two, but there's definitely athletically there's things to like about it, and the upside's certainly there. So, but you know, I mean, we've had a year and we haven't seen much so far of Joseph, so it's obviously, you know, Sam Williams is a different story because we haven't seen anything. It's like a clean slate with that. But so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if he doesn't start showing me something soon, I'm just going to continue to feel unsatisfied by that. But so, yeah, that's my pick for that. And you know what? That is all we have for today. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network. Leave us a rating, write a review wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, iTunes, or Stitcher. Tell us what you think, anything you would like us to see differently to improve your podcast listening experience. And if you ever want to talk to us about anything at all, Cowboys Hot Topics, who are some of your favorite pet cats, or just, you know, tell us about a great pet that you had. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at DannyPhantom24. And Rabs is at Rebel Rouser, spelled RABBLEROUSR. And don't forget to check out all the great podcasts throughout the entire week. Every day, we got something new for you. Tomorrow, we'll have Cowboys Oi with Mauricio Rodriguez. And Sunday, we'll have the World's Team with Meg Murray and Paul Stewart. So make sure to check those out. But that's all we have for today. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay happy, stay true to the silver and blue. And we will catch you later.
Class dismissed.
That's awesome.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.